I'm going to read from the book of Genesis, just part of chapter 11. If you have a Bible, Genesis chapter 11. I'm just going to read the first 9 verses. Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So reads God's word. Now a short reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 6. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 6. "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So reads God's word. Well, now we're in the book of Genesis this morning, and we are in chapter 11 and the story of the Tower of Babel. Now, some general things about the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, and I may have said this before when I was here long ago, the book of Genesis is the most important book in the Bible. The reason is that the book of Genesis is the foundational book of the Bible. In the book of Genesis, we have the origin of all sorts of different things. We have, for example, the origin of nations. And in the previous chapter, chapter 10 and verse 32, this is after the flood, we read, "These are the clans of Noah's sons, according to their lines of descent within their nations. From these, the nations spread out over the earth after the flood." So there we have the origin of nations. We have the origin of sin in the book of Genesis. You're all familiar with the story of Adam and Eve. Now, I believe that Adam was a real person. He's not just a mythological person. He did actually exist. Because if you deny the existence of Adam, that undermines the whole Christian gospel. Because Adam sinned there in the Garden of Eden. And that is where sin originated from. And we read that, of course, in Romans and chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. So that's the origin of sin. We have the origin of clothing. How about that? Genesis chapter 3. Well, we're all used to wearing clothes, but it had an origin. And the origin was in Genesis 3, verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. This is Adam and Eve. The eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So that's the origin of clothing. And in this story of Babel, well, of course, we have the origin of languages, but I'll say a little bit more about that a little bit later on. Now, also, in Genesis 11, we have the origin of brick buildings. Now, I find this quite interesting. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." And we have, of course, over the centuries, been building buildings with bricks. Now, we've got a picture. If you can put the picture up, please. There we are. Now, I don't know if any of you have been there. It's in Brighton. It's St. Bartholomew's Parish Church. It's just off the London Road. You turn right by Costa Coffee. You can nip in there and have a coffee on the way if you want. You go up Ann Street, and it's on the right. It's a massive, great brick building. It contains over 11 million bricks. It was constructed in 1874 by a guy called Father Wagner. Now, of course, he called himself Father Wagner because he was in the sort of high church department of the Church of England. And St. Bartholomew's Church is made entirely of bricks. It cost, in 1874, £18,000. I don't know what that would be in today's money. Its width is 46 feet, with recesses giving an extra 6 feet. Its height to the ridge is 135 feet, and to that little cross on the top, 144 feet. Its length is 171 feet, and its capacity, congregational capacity, is 1,500. And there's not a stone in the building. And when I was in there, I said to the lady in there, I said, "Where were all these bricks from?" And she said, "We think Southwater." Now, of course, Southwater was a big brickworks to the south of Horsham, but I don't know whether they came from there, but an amazing building, 11 to 12 million bricks. And also in Brighton, you'll find another remarkable brick structure, that is a viaduct built by a guy called Joseph Rastrick. It carries the London to Lewes railway line across the valley. And that's an amazing viaduct. It's 370 metres in length. It has 27 spans at heights of 20 metres. And so right through history, men have now been building with bricks. So here we have a story of a tower that is being built with bricks. So what did they use? How did they do it? They used brick instead of stone and bitumen for mortar, we read in verse 3. Now, bitumen is a kind of asphalt, and mortar is a mixture of lime, sand, and water. And because they only spake one language at that time, there was only one language at that time, they were more capable of helping each other. Now, we still build towers today. And if there's a tower that's open to the public, you'll probably find me up it. There's Leith Hill Tower, 7 miles up the road. That's well worth a visit. National Trust property, that's well worth a visit. And men are still building towers, like the I-360 in Brighton, that went bust with debts of $52 million. And I understand last week some poor persons bought it. Some companies bought it up and are going to try and run it. But there we are. We still build these towers that end up being sometimes a bit of a folly. Well, now, what about this tower? Why did they build it? What does it say to us? They built it because it was an affront to God. They were defying God. They were setting themselves up as rivals against God. Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. They wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to defy God. And people today defy God. Atheism defies God. Evolutionary teaching defies God because it denies God as creator of all things and of the human race. There are all sorts of philosophies today that defy God and are anti-God in our society today. We are seeing that more and more today, those who defy God. And they thought they could make a name for themselves. And there are people like that today, aren't they, who want to make a name for themselves. It may be politicians or sports stars or entertainment stars. They want to make a name for themselves and always be in the limelight. Well, that's what that these people here, these guys in Genesis 11, wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to defy God. We can build this tower. We can build this city, and so on. But we're warned in our reading in Galatians, aren't we, in chapter 6. We're warned in Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. People who mock God won't get away with it. They'll have to meet him one day. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That is what the Bible says. Now, they wanted to build this tower to prevent their dispersion. But what was God's response to the building of this tower? Now, look at this is quite interesting. If you look at verse 7, this is God speaking. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. Now, I want you to notice it's us. It's not I'm going to go down. It's us, plural. There is an Old Testament reference to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. And so God is responding to this defiance against him. But God is merciful. He lets them build it before he puts a stop to it. He lets them build it. He lets them carry on for a bit. And it's like that perhaps in our lives. He may just let us carry on in sin before we repent and before we come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. God in his mercy doesn't destroy them. He could have done. But he scatters them. We see here the mercy of God. He scatters them. That is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the earth. He confused their language. And so from that we get the origin of languages today. and languages today, and there are thousands and thousands of languages. Just take the continent of Europe. What languages do we have? Let me give you a few. We have in Europe English, French, German, Polish, Slovak, Czech, Romanian, Bulgarian, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, Welsh, Gaelic, Swedish, Norwegian, and so on and so forth. In parts of Africa, there are hundreds and hundreds of languages. In India, there are hundreds of different languages and dialects. It is thought that in Britain today, there are well over 250 languages that are spoken in Britain today, because many people have come from elsewhere to live in our country. So this is a great challenge for Christian missions. And we were hearing earlier about Central Asia. And this is a great challenge, especially for Christian radio ministry. The ministry of FEBC, the Far East Broadcasting Company, and FEBA, Far East Broadcasting Association, who have just moved into a new headquarters in Stenning, by the way, just down the road. They used to be in Worthing. Their building in Worthing has been demolished, and they're building some flats there now. But they've moved to Stenning, and they broadcast in lots of languages that you and I perhaps have never heard of, reaching out into Africa, into South Asia, and into the Middle East. So this is a great challenge for Christian missions today, the fact that there are so many, many different languages. So they built this tower, the Tower of Babel. Now, Babel, or Babylon, means confusion, because there God confused the languages of the world. And we live in a world that is confused. We live in a very confused world today. There are wars and rumors of wars and rumors of this, rumors of that. There's unrest in many parts of the world. There is all sorts of trouble in this world today. You and I, as Christians, are living in Babylon. Because Babylon means confusion. We, as God's saints, are living in Babylon. But one day, it's all going to come to an end. It's all going to come crashing down. And that's prophesied in the book of Revelation, chapter 14 and verse 8. A second angel followed and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries." We live in Babylon today, but one day when Jesus returns, it's all going to change. So they built this tower in defiance of God. But there is another tower that you and I can put our trust in. And that is found in Proverbs 18, verse 10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe." Are you and I in that tower? Are you and I trusting in the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower? The righteous run to it, and they are safe. We need to encourage people to run to Jesus today, because of the state of the world, the state of the situation we find all around us. We need to encourage people to run to that tower. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe." Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a tower that we can run to, the Lord Jesus Christ. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." So we thank you that we have that tower. Help us all to run to it, and there we know we are safe. We are safe from the world's pollution. We are safe from Satan. We are safe from all the bad things in this world. So, Heavenly Father, though we live in Babylon, as it were, today, we live in a confused world. Help us to shine as lights for our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to share and spread the good news of the gospel to those that we meet. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.